This is Season 5 of the Convert Central's podcast, where we take you on a journey to explore the beauties of Islam so that we can find Islam in our everyday lives. Catch Tajrian and I in our latest release every Friday and join us for our events at Convert Central on Instagram.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome to part 2 of the Noblest Month, where we talk about how we can continue striving to reap the amazing benefits of the holy month of Ramadan that we are now in. Alhamdulillah. So in the previous episode, we talked a bit about the virtues of Ramadan and how there is so much reward, so much forgiveness in it, and so much mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in this episode, we're going to talk more about what does that mean for us as believers as we enter this month, and how can we have that mindset to maximize the rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us. And to begin off this part, let's start out with a hadith, which I think helps break the month of Ramadan down a bit for us, and maybe we can have our very esteemed guest speaker and our host talk more about what that means for a believer. And so this hadith is that the Prophet ﷺ said, "This is a month, the first part of which brings Allah's mercy, the middle of which brings Allah's forgiveness, and the last part of which brings emancipation from hellfire." So while it is Ramadan as a whole is a month of so much mercy, I think this hadith helps break it down a bit into what these different weeks entail. And maybe we can ask our other two speakers to share on what does that mean for a believer, to what kind of mindset should we have in order to reap, maximize the benefits of these blessings that Allah has told us is in each week of the Ramadan.
So to be honest, Ustaz asked me to share and talk about the hadith, but we'd like to, you know, admit that because we had brought Ustaz Samir to come into the podcast, we believe that we'll be sitting here in a state of learning instead of a state of sharing. So I will leave the hadith to Ustaz, and I'll talk a little bit about mindset, because as we in the previous episode, you know, and we recommend you start from there, right? We talked about harvesting the crop, we talked about, you know, sowing the seeds and irrigating the plants, right? In another perspective, right, as Ustaz has mentioned that, you know, this is about building up to Ramadan, right? But this is also about celebration. Ramadan is a celebration for us believers, right? And celebration of what, you might ask? Then you should listen to the Sha'ban podcast. We talk about Ramadan being the month of the Quran, right? Ramadan was revealed. That was the month that the Quran was revealed, right? And we are asked to celebrate. And how we celebrate then is through acts of worship. Fasting, Tarawih, these are the ways that we can celebrate. But at the same time, how should you be feeling when you're celebrating? You should be feeling joyful. You should feeling like this is so, I want it to extend. And this is the mindset and the emotional state of the people who are righteous, the companions, right? And then you then ask the question, what about myself? How do I get to that state? And I believe for many of us, including myself, Ramadan feels, to be honest, sometimes a drag. You know, you're motivated. And then because it's too much for you, sometimes you feel tired and you drop off a little bit. And then the last 10 days, phew, your motivation goes up again. And then you search for Laylatul Qadr, and then you end Ramadan and it stops there. Right? Why is a Ramadan like that? Right? Think about it from another perspective. Your Fridays. You are asked to recite Surah Al-Kahf on Fridays. It's a sunnah. Right? Some of us recite it on Thursday night. And Friday mornings, Friday afternoons, we go about our day and everything. Some of us recite it on Friday mornings. Maybe you're on the way to work, we recite half. And on the way back from work, we recite half. Some of us recite at the very last hour of Friday. About 6:30, we start reciting. And nowadays, Maghrib is at 7:15, 45 minutes. And we blast through Surah Al-Kahf. We blast through, you know, sometimes we miss the recitation. It's okay. We don't recite the verse again. We don't take the time to contemplate on what has been said in Surah Al-Kahf. We blast through. And when we blast through, how do we feel? You feel tired. You feel like this is a dread. You want this to end. And this shows the importance of the preparation. Right, you prepare in Rajab, you prepare in Sha'ban, so that you can enjoy in the month of Ramadan. Because we know in Ramadan we're going to do a lot. And if you start on the first day of Ramadan, right, you're going to feel like it's going to be a lot. But however, if you build up, you're going to start enjoying fasting in the month of Ramadan. You're going to start enjoying Quran in the month of Ramadan. You're going to start enjoying praying in the month of Ramadan. If only you've had the 2 months of training. But in this month is mercy. Allah has never said you must fulfill all 30 days to be forgiven. Allah is so merciful. He says, even one time you ask me for forgiveness, just one time, I respond to the one who asks. He doesn't say I respond to the one who asks for 30 days. Even just one time you ask with sincerity, he would answer our du'as and he will forgive us. And this is the mercy of Ramadan. If on Surah Al-Kahf is one day, you have 30 days of that in the month of Ramadan. Even on the last day of Ramadan, you know, you on the previous 29 tries you fail, this one last time, you still have that one last chance to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And this is the mindset that we should come into. Every single day, look at how we can go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You might not attain it for the first 29 days, but it might have been so that you must fail this last 29 so that your last day of Ramadan, the very last day of Ramadan, and that's what we call in the context of Ramadan, husnul khatimah. Right, that you understand the importance of it and you show Allah how much you want it. Right. And I recall when I had my first Xbox, I bugged my mom about half a year to get the Xbox. I asked and I asked and I asked and I asked and I asked. She said no. And only when I got chicken pox for the very first time. And you know, when I was having chicken pox, you know, she was telling me in my feverish state, I still ask, can I have an Xbox? And she's okay lah, this guy is, you know, a little bit too much. Let's buy him an Xbox. MashaAllah. And this is my mom's love for me, our mother's love for Allah's love is greater. Right? He will give it to us. We just have to, you know, do our part and everything. And that's what I think mindset should be when it comes to the month of Ramadan. And I will then pass my time to Ustaz to talk about the hadith.
MashaAllah. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family and the rest of the ummah. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again for giving this opportunity. So mashallah, we began with that particular hadith where Rajab, we plant the seed, right? How do you plant the seed is through returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's mentioned that the Rajab is the month of Allah, right? How do we plant the seed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? By admitting and returning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with tawbah and istighfar. And then we irrigate the plants with a lot of salawat in the month of Sha'ban. Right, and a lot of salawat in the month of Sha'ban, as the hadith mentioned, the Prophet mentioned, those who spend a lot of time doing salawat upon me, every single distress and every single need of yours will be eased and facilitated. Right? And then comes the month of Ramadan, which is the month of our ummah. It's a celebration, right? Like Siddiq was mentioning to us. And it's also the month of the Quran. Alright, it's the month where you speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After have clearing your heart and connecting with the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now you're just speaking and speaking and speaking and speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Quran. And you are trying to understand, right? So the Quran is also mentioned that when you want Allah to speak to you, right, you read the Quran. You want to speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you spend the night praying. So it's really about courtship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Ramadan. Just me and you. I speak to you, you speak to me. I hear from you and hear from me. Right? But there are some things that we need to be aware of, right? In accordance to how we should approach our worldview, our mindset when we are in the month of Ramadan. All right. First, we must have joy, as we have already explained in the previous episode. Right? And secondly, we must protect anything that endangers this relationship, that endangers us to lose this connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? And as Imam Ghazali rahimahullah mentions in his book of fasting, right, you should look it up also, there are three categories of people who fast. Right? On the outset, it looks like everybody is refraining from food and drink and any other things which breaks their fast externally. But there are three different categories of people who fast. First one is the ordinary fast where everybody refrains from food and drinks. The second one is they must strive, the people of Iman, right? The people who truly want to reap everything from Ramadan, is we must refrain our limbs, our eyes, our ears, our lips, our mind, our hearts, and any other jawari, any of the external limbs and the internal limbs from having connection to other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Example like lying and backbiting. And the Prophet mentions that there are certain things which pierce your fasting. Then the Sahaba asked, what are those that pierce or annul your fasting? Lying and backbiting. Speaking without any remorse, and you lie because of a joke. The Prophet did have lighthearted moments with companions, right? But even when he joked, he did not lie. Subhanallah. And this is something we need to be very aware of when we, especially if you're spending some time in social media, we try to lessen it, right? Or we're hanging out a bit too much socialization, right? The people of Yemen and many other righteous communities, what they will do is they will not even have time to actually acknowledge their friends in the month of Ramadan. In the days they are fasting, right? In the nights, they are praying. In the days, they are reading the Quran. It's always talking and listening to Allah. So it's really a month of communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they don't have time for anything. And it's only during Eid, they take a breather and then they reconnect with their friends and their families and whatnot. So subhanAllah. So this is something we need to be aware of. First, to abstain from food and drink. Detach our attachment, our dependence, our hope, and our trust in the things which Allah created. Yes, enjoy your iftar and your sahur, but look beyond the bandung who enabled the bandung to be there for us. All that teh tarik to be there for us. It is Allah who created everything. And He feeds us with beautiful things. Subhanallah. Where did He shortchange us? He has never. So we must also protect the limbs which He has provided us with. The mouth which speaks because of His permission. The eyes that sees because of His permission. The ears that hears because of His permission. So we need to reduce anything that threatens to break our communication, our commitment, our love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right, so this is the second category of elite fast, or the fastest, people who fast. The elite of the elite, the people who are really sincere and they are dedicated utmost, with utmost dedication, and they truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without calculation, the elite of the elite. They fast from thinking about anything else other than Allah. That means their mind, like just now we mentioned, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّكُمْ, their mind is truly full of Allah. Not only they are mindful of Allah, their mind is just full of Allah. Subhanallah. And we should strive to aim to be among, to be counted among this category of people who fast. At least we fall into the second category. And then we try to climb our way back up again with dhikr and with istighfar and whatnot. Right? And Siddiq mentions and reminded us about this particular hadith that in the first part, the first 10 days, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store in Ramadan. What He has in store for us? Rahmah. So Allah asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a lot of rahmah. Rabbi firli wa tubi alayya innaka anta tawwabur rahim. You are the most merciful. Irhamni, ya Allah, have mercy on me and my parents. And ask for mercy and be merciful. The important, and it's a beautiful hadith which the Prophet mentioned, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certain rewards for so many things, but fasting is for me. I reward with a special reward for people who fast. Because why? We take on the akhlaq of Allah of not needing things. But we can't be like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at mercy. So we try something for 13, 14 odd hours. We do away with food and drink. Right? This is something even the angels can't comprehend. Right, so they can't record it down. How do I record something down when this guy does something for the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out of what is this ihsan? What is this gratitude? They can't understand that. It's a special place which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in store for insan. He loves us much more than the angels, provided we are truthful to our love. Right? So subhanAllah, ask in the first part, a lot of mercy and be merciful to people. It's okay, right? And they are also among the categories of people who have rancor and grudges and bad thoughts and they hold on to that traumatic experience and they have revengeful thoughts. Allah subhanAllah doesn't look at our deeds. So what do? If we want the mercy of Allah subhanAllah to descend upon us, we forgive and forget. Right? We forgive and forget, have mercy to people. And the second part of it is forgiveness. Ask for a lot of forgiveness. As Siddiq reminded us, it's a simple proclamation. I'm sorry, Allah. Astaghfirullah. I'm sorry. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just waiting for us. In fact, He was the one who opened the door of forgiveness in order so that He can have an excuse to forgive us. Do you see His generosity? It's amazing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just wants us to be, He just wants to give excuses for us to be let into His paradise. Right, he does not turn anybody away. Right, Allah subhanahu, and you are quite aware of the hadith where a promiscuous woman, when she was walking along her way to home, right, when she saw a thirsty dog, she took out a piece of cloth or a shoe, right, and she squeezed water from a well, and she got entrance into Allah's paradise and the maghfirah, forgiveness, just by feeding His creation, by having mercy. Subhanallah. Allah does not look at people. Oh, you are a thief, you are a sinner, you are a decent. No, no, no. Allah subhanallah looks at everybody with potential to attain His forgiveness. Subhanallah. What more do we want from Allah subhanallah? Right? And He is Malikul Mulk. He is the director of the universe. Not only Convert Central, director of Convert Central is so busy. But imagine director of the universe and He attends to every single need and he wants to be participating. He is a present Lord, like a present father, right? In or a present mom, they're always around. He's a present Lord. He wants to be involved. And we are just a mamluk, we are just a slave. Who is supposed to attend to whom? Who is supposed to sedia to who? Subhanallah. So, second part is to get Allah's pardon, his acceptance, right? And to climb, to try to climb up the ranks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to become the elite, the close ones of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last one is something we also need to ask and manifest our servanthood to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to ask protection from especially what? His displeasure, namely his hellfire. Allahumma ajirna minan nar. A simple dua that we can learn. Go back and look at the Convert Central podcast. We have those dua series. Learn a few dua and importantly, proclaim it with love and intentions, right? So these are some things that we need to be aware of. Three categories of fasting, three categories of people who fast, right? Refrain from the external lawful things. Second one is to refrain from the vices of the limbs. Third one is to refrain from attaching any thoughts to other than Allah. We fast from everything other than Allah. We are always connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? And to protect ourselves from any of those things which destroy our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by lying and backbiting, by concerning ourselves with creations. Why don't we concern ourselves with the highest of the high, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah.
Thank you, Ustaz. Alhamdulillah for sharing such an insightful explanation of the hadith. And, you know, as we talk about gaining Allah's mercy, gaining Allah's forgiveness, I always get reminded that, you know, before we become a Muslim, we have the golden rule for say that you do to people what you want others do to you, right? And then we embrace Islam and we learn that there is actually a platinum rule, right? And the platinum rule is do unto others what you want Allah to do to you, right? So as Ustaz mentioned, if you want Allah's mercy, be merciful to others, right? If you want Allah to be generous with you, then be generous with others. Right, so this is a very, very simple rule. If we just focus on this rule in the month of Ramadan, indeed we will have, you know, the treasures of paradise, inshallah. Inshallah, we're going to then talk about the ideal routine for Muslim Ramadan. And why? Why are we going to talk about that? Right? Because for especially a Muslim Ramadan, routine is very important. This is what most of us are striving for in the month of Ramadan. And I think a few years ago, we talked about Ramadan as a very, as a period of spiritual high. Right, and iman sometimes feels like a roller coaster, right, and or a marathon per se. In the start of a marathon, you can run very fast, but you know, sometime down the stretch, you're gonna have to slow down because you're gonna feel tired, right? And then, how do you deal with these moments, right? And again, this is an advice I got from Mr. Samir back in 2019, and I still remember it until today in 2023. I was sitting in Darul Akam and facing Mr. Samir. He's telling this to me on the nights of Ramadan. He says that when you feel your spiritual high, use that to build your habits. Use it to build your routines because that is the easiest time to build it. And when you have your spiritual low, your habits will bring you through all the way until you find the next spiritual high. Right, so let's talk about routine then. And I'm going to pose the question to Taj and to Ustaz. To you, Taj, what is the ideal routine for a Muslim Ramadan?
Okay, I'm really not sure what the ideal routine is for a Muslim. I will share my routine. I don't think it's ideal, but alhamdulillah, we have Ustaz here to correct us on that. But for me in Ramadan, or based on like what I've seen from generally the community I'm with in Ramadan, what we do is that definitely waking up for sahur, I think not everybody is able to do that. It's not part of everybody's routine, but it's part of my routine and it is sunnah. So alhamdulillah, if you're able to wake up for sahur. And let me tell you why, because also when you wake up for sahur, if you are able to wake up early enough, you get to pray tahajjud, which I think is so amazing, because even if you have not prayed tahajjud before Ramadan, this is your opportunity to start, I think, building that habit of just waking up. It doesn't take very long. You can very much eat and get in 2-4 rakats of tahajjud for the Fajr Azan. So I think that's why sahur is quite an important part of my routine, having that downtime. And okay, so a lot of times this is where it gets controversial. To sleep or not to sleep after sahur. I think it depends on your workload, on what kind of life you have. So I have done both ends of the spectrum where I stay up all night and then I'm awake at sahur and then I can sleep in a bit more after sahur. Or if I have school, then usually I have to start getting ready for school after sahur. But I think what has been most ideal for me, at least, is that time between sahur and sunrise is actually a time that is full of so much barakah. And there is a hadith in that the Prophet ﷺ asked Allah to grant barakah to the ummah in the time between Fajr and sunrise. And so if you are able to maximize that time, if maybe your work schedule, your school schedule allows you to use that time to get your work done, it is such an amazing time to get your work done. And I'm saying this as someone who has had finals in Ramadan and I had to get work done. That is a very good time. Yeah, much, much better than... So that then your nights can really be for Tarawih and you can get your work done in that time so that the rest of the day you can focus on your ibadah and your relationship with Allah. That's more of the morning routine. Maybe I'll let Ustaz share now. Like, what do you think? What is your advice? How would you rate this routine?
MashaAllah. So, alhamdulillah. It's a beautiful routine, Sister Taj. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the strength. And as because we live in such a race, we are racing with the world. The world has never lost team, right? And it's a difficult balance that we have to find, actually. Right, but the ideals are relative. But we got to strive to the level best in adhering to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. But in fact, the Prophet ﷺ, there was one time he did not come out to pray the Taraweeh in congregation out of fear that it might be made compulsory. And also, do not be caught up in the race of competing with your peers. Right, especially as a new Muslim, as a convert, well, you barely started to learn how to recognize the Arabic letters. You should not be expected of you, nor should you feel downtrodden that, hey, everybody is doing a khatam Quran. I should also sign up for 3 different Quran khatams. And no, you don't have, it's relative to each spiritual pace that you are at. All right, so it's very relative. But there should be a minimum baseline, which whether you are a Quran Hafiz or you're not a Quran Hafiz, are very simple means that we can adopt. We should also refrain from treating Ramadan like a Mother's Day event, that you only celebrate your mom's milestones on Mother's Day. No, you love your mother every day. On that day, you do extra special. So the baselines are there, that you respect your mom and you love your mom and etc. Same for your spouse. Not only on anniversary do you do extra acts of commitment, but throughout the year you've exercised responsible behavior, you cherish each other, you do things for each other. All right, so we can't treat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh, we're gonna just use Ramadan like an excuse to show, but still Allah accepts. But at the same time, there must be a minimum baseline that you would be doing inside Ramadan and we should bring it outside Ramadan. Right, so the Prophet recommends us this particular routine on top of other things that we'll be discussing, that this, in the hadith is mentioned, do 4 things in abundance in the month of Ramadan. Right, 2 things which will please our Lord, which will make Him happy. He's just happy that you do it. In fact, He makes you do it so that He's happy with you. SubhanAllah. And 2 things that we cannot do without. What are those? As for the 2 things which please our Lord, the testification of Tawheed. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Then we recite istighfar. Nastaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. Whether you ask in a plurality, which is better, right? To ask istighfar, to seek forgiveness for ourselves and for the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. And the 2 things that we cannot do without, that we ask Allah for paradise. We manifest our neediness to be accepted and our neediness to be protected from the hellfire. So a simple routine that we should incorporate in Ramadan, starting in Ramadan and outside of Ramadan, is Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, nastaghfirullah, nas'alakal jannata wa na'udhu bika minan nar. That is to say, I testify, I admit, I bow down in submission, a prostration. La ilaha. No one has been taking care of me like you do. No one is worthy of worship like you do, like you are. No one is worthy of adoration and communication and infatuation and obsession and object of love, the giver of protection and the giver of benefit and the protection of harm other than you. Everything comes from you. I live with your help. I live by your help and you are my constant companion. You have never left me. Now is my time to prove to you in the remaining days of my years, in the remaining days of Ramadan, right, my commitment to you. We reignite our vow to Him. It's like a marriage vow. Get married to Allah spiritually, right? Be with Allah. Don't go anywhere without Allah, right? Be obsessed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the understanding of Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. I bear witness, I admit, I renew my vow to you, Ya Allah. And I have forgotten this vow, right? That's why I seek istighfar. Astaghfirullah. and I need your paradise eventually. Where can I run to when I end this worldly life, which is very limited? We're already halfway there, some of us, right? Or we don't even know if we have a day left or another Ramadan left. So we return back to him in manifestation of our slavehood. I need your paradise, Ya Allah, at the end of the day. Admit me, despite my shortcomings. And he's ready to do so. You just have to ask. You just have to manifest it. I'm sorry, Allah. I tried my best. Even though I could have done better, but I have tried. Accept me into your paradise and forgive me and protect me from your displeasure. Do not be displeased with me. I'm trying. I'm going to try harder, inshallah, and admit me into paradise. And coming to the, especially the last 10 days of Ramadan, when people are yearning and looking forward to this thing called Laylatul Qadr, a special night where it's better than 1,000 months. Subhanallah. What to incorporate over there? This particular dua with the Prophet mentioned, Allahumma innaka afun tuhibbul afwa fu'afu anna. Meaning, Ya Allah, truly you are the all-pardoning. You pardon all things. You forgive all shortcomings. And you love to pardon. The Prophet is teaching us the attributes of Allah. Right? He loves to pardon. So pardon us. Meaning we're not demanding, but we're asking in weakness and in a meek state, Ya Allah, pardon us. You love to forgive. Who else loves to forgive? No one else. If we make a creation angry, it takes a long time for them to forgive us, perhaps. And some never do. In their whole life, they hold grudges even for simple things. But subhanallah, Allah is Ghafurur Rahim. Allah loves to forgive. So ask forgiveness from Him and He will pardon us. Subhanallah. So apart from this, yes, it is also imminent that we do not neglect the Quran. Because it is the month where the Quran was revealed, right? In the month of Ramadan. So we have to incorporate also the routine of reading the Quran. But how much Quran to read is sometimes the relative question. It is very good. Those who are already disciplined, those who already have a habit of reading the Quran and they are not struggling with the Quran, you want to do one khatam in the month of Ramadan, one juzu a day, ahlan wa sahlan, bismillah, go ahead. But not everybody is on that same endurance or the strength. Right, so what is better, quantity or quality? Something that you exhaust yourself only in the month of Ramadan to neglect the Quran for the rest of the year, or to incorporate something piecemeal? Is it one page a day that you can say, I'm going to be committed to you, Ya Allah, for the rest of my life, one page with understanding or without understanding, even if it's just reading and barely reading the translation. But what is better? The person who is learned, who understands what Allah is trying to tell him, and he incorporates into his life, and he brings a message what Allah is telling us, right? And he enlivens the Quran for the rest of his life. One page a day, forever, until he passes away. And as we mentioned, the deed which is small and consistent is better than the one which is done in a lot of quantity which is abandoned later on, right? So something which you can incorporate yourself. If you have enough strength, 2 pages. If you have more strength, 5 pages. You do not necessarily need to swallow everything, you know, at one point of time if you are not already used to it. So you got to go somewhere, increase that endurance level a little bit more, and then build upon it. Don't suddenly, if you're working out in the gym and everything, if you've never been to the gym before, you don't straight away hit the treadmill at the fastest speed. No, you gradually pick up pace. Right? Otherwise, you're going to be exhausting yourself for the rest of the day. Right? Or it's going to endanger you. So spirituality works the same way. Build upon what you already have built, increase it. Once you are confident that you're going to be keeping a commitment to it, then increase it even more. And you can break it up into Subuh, Zuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha. If you can do 5 pages, right, between the 5 waqtu, the 5 prayers, it is better than stuffing yourself and then you're going to be having a burnout by the next day. So, I don't think I can do one juz. But if you break it down into small, small accomplishment, you find even more bigger motivation to finish it. And that might even create a bigger momentum and commitment to you to finish up the Quran. So, what are the routine that you can take? You should already build on whatever you have and do not abandon what you already have been building on. And of course, you got to go back to the Quran, right? And do these 2 particular dua that the Prophet encouraged us to ask in abundance, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah, thank you Ustaz and thank you Taj for sharing. I would then contend that the ideal routine in our Convert Central context is to join all of our Convert Central's initiatives. We will intend to start with you from sahur all the way to your tahajjud. We have our simple sunnah sahurs booklet to start with you at the start of your day. And we have our Ramadan guide to bring you through all the way from your fasting of subuh all the way to maghrib. We have our Tarawih guide that will bring you from maghrib all the way to Ishaq and to your Tarawih. And more importantly, we have our daily ibadah checklist to bring you from the first day of Ramadan and to the last day of Ramadan. And if Ramadan works out, then stick with us for life, inshallah. So, alhamdulillah, thank you for Ustaz Samir's involvement and explanation of our various concepts in this podcast, and thank you Taj for also sharing with us your ideal Ramadan mornings. One last thing that we'd like to address in the month of Ramadan is that for us who are having our first Ramadan, right, in the environment where everyone is doing everything in the month of Ramadan, what should we then focus on? If you want to find out, inshallah, listen to the next section of this podcast series. We will see you there, inshallah.
We have now come to the end of the second podcast of this week. To listen to more interesting discussions like this, do head down to the last episode of the week. If you like what you're hearing, do head down to our Instagram @ConvertCentral and let us know. See you there!